Luke chapter 22. And you know, one of the hardest groups, I would say, to preach to are preachers. You know, almost nearly all of the men here today are preachers. You know, as a young preacher, I'm one of the youngest preachers here, been in Wales the least amount of times, and I found I have messed up a few times. I've failed a few times. Any of you, have you ever made a mistake or failed? I want to see hands. There's a few perfect people. More of the women are perfect. But I'm glad that the men raised their hand, because this way I can know I'm not necessarily just preaching to preachers. I'm preaching to failures. Now, really, the truth is, failure is not a person. Failure is an event. But you know, as we look at this passage, I want to point out about our God. Our God is a God of new beginnings. You know, we'll look at Peter. Peter, as you think about the disciple of Peter, he was the one that was bold. He was the one that stood up so many times, but yet he had the greatest falls out of all the disciples. He was the one that proclaimed the greatest. But yet, remember, just after he mentioned, Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, within six verses, he rebukes Christ. You know, we often could criticize him for all of his failures. I mean, there he was out on the water, and he took his eyes off of Christ, and he began to sink. But remember, he was the only one that got out of the boat. And you know, as you think about failures and successes, we could look at Peter and see, and it's not just, I had looked up some failure quotes, but I don't want this to be just a pep talk, because it's not about us having new beginnings, but it's God who allows us to have a new beginning. And here, as we look at Peter, Luke chapter 22, starts out in we'll look at verse 54. It says, then took they him, speaking of Jesus, and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down amongst them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, as we look at Peter here, it's very easy to criticize him. I mean, it mentions in verse 54 how Peter followed afar off. But remember, if you were to read the stories, how all the disciples scattered, Peter's the only one following afar off. Peter's the only one that is still following a little bit. We could criticize him about denial, but yet Peter's the only one that we find here in the priest's house. And you know, as we think about Peter and his denial and his failures, as you look throughout the Word of God, time and time again, you find failures. And you know, as humans, we are the least forgiving. When somebody fails, actually it was mentioned earlier this week, there are two things that we do not forgive. We do not forgive failure, and we do not forgive successes. You know, so many times we are not forgiving. When somebody has failed, we are ready to write them off and turn them away. If you look through the Bible, Remember Adam? He was a blame shifter. Noah, well, he got drunk after the flood. Abraham, he let two different men walk away with his wife, and then he had a concubine. Samson, he had a thing for strange women. Moses, he was a murderer, and he had a temper. David, a man after God's own heart, but yet he committed adultery. And then, to cover that up, he had a man murdered. Even in today's society, in the secular society, David would not have remained in power of the country. Think of the prime minister or president or somebody in that position. There would have been so many people, especially the cover-up, they might not have minded the adultery, but the cover-up, he would not have remained in power. Why did God allow him to continue? Jonah, he ran from God's will. Then he became angry with God when God repented at destroying the city. And really, it's not a picture about these men. It's a picture about our God that we serve. A picture of the God who is a God of new beginnings, ready to start out once again and move forward. As we think about Peter here, yes, he had failures. He denied Christ. You know, as he denied Christ, he went out and wept bitterly. You know, the thing about Peter is he always moved forward. Maybe some people might say that he acted before he thought. He spoke before he thought, and it got him into trouble. But the thing about Peter is he did act, and he did speak. A quote I remember as a child, and people would say it, and had to do with studying. For some reason, the principal, when somebody had it up on their board, the principal told them to take it down. It said, "Why study? The more you study, the more you know. The more you know, the more you forget. The more you forget, the less you know. So why study?" And you know, sometimes we have that same idea when it comes to working and accomplishing things. Why try anything? Because the more you try, the more you fail. And every time you fail, it's a setback, right? So why even try? But Peter, he always was stepping out. But you know, every time that Peter stepped out and failed, Jesus was there, ready and waiting to lift him up, whether it was lifting up out of the water. But here, in verse 62, it says, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." You know, as you think about Peter's repentance, yes, we saw Peter, he had great failures. You know, our failures can cause us to not move forward. Our failures, when we get down, we feel, why even go forward? But Peter, he repented. But yet there was still, I believe, a sense of shame in his life. As we turn over to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, we see kind of the story unfolding as Jesus appears to him once again. John chapter 21 and verse 1, it says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples." Verse 3, it says, "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing." Now the question would be, why did Peter go out fishing? Was it because he needed the money? He may have needed the money. But to be honest, I believe it was more the sense of shame of, why would Jesus want to use me? How many of you, okay, you've done something wrong, you failed, you've repented, but yet you've still had that shame? How many of you preachers, maybe you were studying and preparing a message on loving others, and then Saturday afternoon, as you go out to eat, and they don't cook the food right, or your dish is not prepared right, and you get upset and you get angry at the people working at the restaurant, and you lose your cool, and then you go home that night and you think, how am I going to be able to get up and preach tomorrow on loving others? Maybe you're preparing a message on marriage, and then on the way to church, you have an argument with your wife. And you think, how am I going to preach on marriage? Especially with my wife in the congregation. And she's going to be thinking there, what a hypocrite. You're getting ready to preach on evangelism, and then you think, well, this last week I had plenty of opportunities to share the gospel, but I failed. How am I going to get up in the on the pulpit and preach on evangelism? Think about Peter. Yes, he was called to follow Christ. Yes, he was following him for the 3 years. But now he denied Christ, not once, not twice, but 3 times. And it wasn't just any time, but it was when Christ was going to be crucified. Now Christ had been crucified. Yes, he had risen again, but there was still some unbelief. There was still some doubting in their lives, and there was that shame. How can I preach to be bold for Christ when I denied Christ so many times? How can I move forward when I have failed miserably? Why is anybody going to listen to me? But the amazing thing about, not about Peter, but about Christ, is God is a God of a new beginning. And you know, as we find Peter, or Jesus Christ, appeared to Peter personally. Well, first of all, Mark chapter 16, verse 7, remember as he's speaking, I believe it's to Mary, and he says, go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, this is the angel speaking, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. The angel specifically said, go tell the disciples he's risen, and Peter. He made a specific note to tell Peter. But then, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 34, it says, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. This is just after the two men walking down the road to Emmaus, and Jesus appears in the midst of them. And they run back and tell the disciples, Jesus is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, it says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. I believe Jesus made a personal visit with Peter on purpose to encourage him. But yet he still didn't feel adequate. Here, as we continue on in verse 15, as we go on, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And I believe it is, Jesus did say this 3 times because of the 3 denials. And Jesus wanted to reaffirm it. And as Jesus first mentions, lovest thou me more than these, there's different views on what he's speaking about. Is he speaking about Peter, do you love me more than these fish and the ships? Well, I don't think that would be a hard decision for Peter. He left it very easily the first time. And it wasn't because he loved the fishing. We know that he loved Jesus more than the fish. But I think in a sense, remember when before the crucifixion, and Peter told Jesus, I will die for you. He said, though all may be offended, I will not be offended. He says, out of everybody in the world, I love you the most. And Jesus says, Do you love me more than all the other disciples love me? Do you really think you are that great? Peter, all he could respond was, Lord, I love you. And he responds the three times, yea, Lord, even the third time, yea, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. In a sense, I think it's kind of the, remember the man that said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I love you. You know that I'm human. You know that I have faults. You know that I have failures. But I love you. But notice Jesus' response every single time. He says, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. He's saying, feed my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. He's saying, I know you have had failures. I know you denied me. But I still have a job for you. I still have a task for you once again. And I believe if it wasn't for this conversation, Peter would not have had the boldness to stand up on the day of Pentecost in just a matter of weeks. It was this conversation that Jesus is telling him, I know you've done wrong, but I have a job for you. And what we see here, it is the heart of Peter. We could look back at David. How could God use David once again? Immediately when he heard of his sin, he repented. With Peter, as soon as he saw the look of Christ, as soon as he remembered the words of Christ, he knew what he had done. And he went out and wept bitterly. His heart was broken. And that's where Jesus, as he refers to Peter, he's looking at the heart. Do you love me? We know that actions come out of the love. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, it's not all about just keeping the commandments. It begins in the heart. Some people will try to keep the commandments without loving him. Jesus looks directly at the heart. And he says, if you truly love me, I have a job for you. You know, aren't you thankful that God is the God of new beginnings? So many times we failed. Doesn't matter if we're a preacher or not. We failed. We've done things that we wish we could go back and erase. We wish that we could just go through and delete. But it's there. You know, it's Satan. Satan desires to point to our past, to diminish our future. But Jesus Christ, he diminishes our past so that he can point to the future. Jesus looks forward. He doesn't necessarily bring up, you know, if it was us talking to Peter and we said, Peter, don't you love Jesus? Yes, I love Jesus. What would have our first response been? Why did you deny him then? That's not what Jesus said, though. Our first response is, why did you do this? Why did you do that? If you truly love Jesus, if you truly wanted to follow him, why did you sin like that? But Jesus responds, he didn't bring up the past. The past was already in Peter's mind. The past was already hindering him from moving forward. The past was holding him down. And Jesus says, if you truly love me, there is a future for you. Feed my sheep. You know, the responsibility that Peter had going into the book of Acts was one of the greatest responsibilities a person could have. Feeding God's people. You know, we could look at so many different people throughout the Bible. And it's not about the people. It's not about a pep talk of just keep moving forward. It's about the God that we serve. Peter could not. I believe he was down so much at this point. He could not move forward. But with the encouragement of Christ, with Christ I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And as Paul writes in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, whether it's good or bad, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul says there's things in the past that I've had to put behind. And it could be good things or bad things. We have to put them behind, looking forward to Christ. As we think about John chapter 21, after Jesus tells him, "Feed my sheep," three times, verse 18, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This he spake he, signifying of what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." So Jesus tells him, "You're going to be a martyr. You're going to live to be an old man, and you're going to be a martyr for me." But he says, "Follow me." And then we understand Peter responds. He says, "Well, what about this man, John? What's going to happen to him?" Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is it that to thee?" He says, "Follow thou me." He says, it doesn't matter what happens to everybody around you. It doesn't matter whether they're blessed or not. It doesn't matter what they do. He says, "Follow thou," the personal word, "thou." He says, "I want you to follow me." Twice there, he says, "Follow me, follow thou me." Are we going to have failures? Yes. Are we going to make mistakes? Are we going to try to have a big day and less people show up for church? Are we going to have certain times where we start up a ministry and it just is a complete flop? Are there going to be times where we try to work with a person and counsel a person and it just seems like we make a bigger mess? Yes. But we can continue to look to Christ. And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep. I still have a job for you. Just follow me." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy goodness and Thy mercy. Lord, we don't deserve to be used. We failed so many times. But yet we're thankful that You are a God of new beginnings. A God who forgives us and desires for us to continue to love You and to follow You. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.